an eat buffet. It'll cost you a mere $19.99, but for her, it'll be a priceless gift, as well as a reminder that hubby number two should be a little less clumsy. A little Bianca. Since I'm now halfway up the ladder of success, I'm under pressure to be thoughtful. I always have to send gifts and thank you cards. I have to remember birthdays and anniversaries. I even had to send a thoughtful condolence to the widow of the man I hated. Even worse, I had to send a note to the widow of the man I jerked off in his car at one of his son's Little League games while his wife, now his widow, thought he was getting some popcorn. It's exhausting. Gift-giving is a huge pain in the nuts, too, because the gifts have to be nice. Successful people know exactly how much thought and money went into buying their gifts. I just can't stop in some random Walmart and ask one of those hideously but appropriately low-paid employees to pick something out really, really special and keep it under $8. Things were much simpler in my old trailer park days. Okay, I didn't ever really live in a trailer park, but for the purpose of this book, let's say I did. When I was invited for Sunday dinner at the Parker's Double Wide down the road, let's call it Lot 7, parcel number 23, I didn't have to worry about sending flowers on Monday as a thank you for the lovely repast of tater tots and Spam. The fact that I didn't fart at the table or wipe my hands on the dog was thanks enough for Mr. Parker and his wife slash first cousin Lurleen. Doing well is fabulous, but grueling. As I become more and more famous, which God knows is as certain as Melissa Etheridge wearing her girlfriend as a hat, I'll have to figure out ways to handle the incredible yet exacting burdens of success. I think the first thing I need to do is make even more money so I can hire more people. Then they can deal with the buying of the gifts or telling my fans that they're too ugly for me to take selfies with them. Chapter 7. Work it, girl. I think the foremost quality, there's no success without it, is really loving what you do. If you love it, you do it well. And there's no success if you don't do well what you're working at. Malcolm Forbes. Problem is, what I love to do is illegal in 46 states. Bianca Del Rio. I got a gazillion questions about drag. What do I do with my dick? What do I do with my balls? What do I do with the duct tape when I'm done? Blah, blah, blah. And by the way, gazillion means any more than one when it comes to questions about drag. And since drag is my career, I flunked out of both medical and veterinary schools. I got drunk one night and spayed my teacher and gave a brow lift to a schnauzer. I put all work-related questions into this chapter. So enjoy! Or don't. You already bought the audiobook. I don't care. Dear Bianca Del Rio, my boss is a real asshole. He shouts and throws things when things don't go his way. He constantly tells his employees that they're lucky to work for him, even though he pays terribly. How do I stick up for myself against his constant abuse? Thanks, Charlotte Furneaux. Charlotte? Charlotte! I'm on to you, Kellyanne! The White House is no place for you. Quit and go work for someone else. Someone more even-tempered and rational, like Kim Jong-un, or Chris Christie, or Osama bin Laden's catty nephew, Jerry. Honestly, I'm surprised you lasted this long. Your wrinkles are starting to look tired. Is there anyone among us who doesn't think Kellyanne Conway is actually a middle-aged pharmacist named Dave? Hey, Bianca. I'm a straight male fan over here in the UK. Been a fan of yours since I saw you on RuPaul's Drag Race. My girlfriend and I loved Hurricane Bianca. Now, I can't pretend to know what struggles and pains the LGBT individuals go through, as simply I didn't have to face those issues growing up. But my sister has recently come out of the closet. My first and most important question is, what is the best thing I can do to make her feel happy and loved? I've been treating her as I did before, acting like it's the same as me telling my parents I finally got a girlfriend. Is this the right thing to do? The last thing I want to do is for her to feel uncomfortable in her own home. My second question is, I've struggled with confidence issues my whole life. It's practically a miracle I have a girlfriend. But what can I do to help channel my inner Bianca? How can I stop caring so much about what other people think of me? Thank you for your time, Connor. Dear Connor, oh, you precious thing. You're not straight. You may have a girlfriend, and yes, you may have sex with her, but princess, you didn't go to Dr. Phil or Dr. Drew for advice. You came to me, a nasty queen who puts the F in bitchy. So that bit of reality aside, if you want your lesbo sister to feel good about coming out of the closet, buy her tools so she can build an armoire. Handiwork tends to calm those gals down. Someone told me they love craftsmanship. I learned this the hard way. My first publicist was an angry lesbian who used to walk down the street snarling at people. She was more of a bulldog than a bull dyke. I wanted to put one of those plastic combs around her head so she wouldn't bite passersby. To calm her down before press events, I give her little tasks to do, like whittle a spoon, smelt some iron, put up drywall in the ladies' room, and it worked like a charm. Your sister will appreciate the support and love the new Black & Decker power saw. As for building your confidence, try building your muscles. Go to the gym. Eat kale. Take steroids. Looking like a behemoth instills inner confidence. If you don't believe me, ask Khloe Kardashian. She's like The Rock without the shrunken testicles and the back acne. Khloe doesn't walk into a room. She walks into a room. She and everyone else know she has the biggest dick in the building. So bulk up, Connor. Be like Khloe. You'll be teeming with confidence. And who knows, maybe you'll start sleeping with black guys. Oh, wait. I mean girls. Sorry, I forgot you were straight. Your faggy letter confused me. Dear Bianca, I'm 5'11". My whole life, my mom told me I was too tall to wear heels. As an act of rebellion, I found myself trying to wear heels in my early 20s. I felt like a literal giant as everyone was watching me stumble in heels. I just want to wear cute shoes. Do you think I should get over the weirdness about my height heels, or should I stop trying the heels? Too tall, Tammy. Dear TTT, stop trying the heels. Never. I'd rather cut off a minor limb than give up my stilettos. Try using a wheelchair. You won't be so tall, and you get to wear the heels without having to worry about stumbling. You'll also get really great parking spots near the mall. So put on the heels and hunt your way to happiness. BDR. Hello, Fab Queen Bianca. I kind of struggle with self-confidence issues since I can think back. I'm 20 now, and for me, it seems as every 20-year-old is more attractive and successful. How do I become so smart, pretty, and successful like you? I really love and admire you as my role model. I hope I get to see you sometime, but sadly, not today, Satan. Very warm greetings from Germany, Michelle.
This is the newest watch Android, Multivision GMX, this is Genesis.
Dear Fräulein, danke schön for your letter. There are so many ways to boost your self-confidence. First stop on the self-esteem train is learn how to spell. Unless you have tits out to here and a pussy of death, no man wants to date a dunce. For example, it's spelled successful, not successful. And if you're going to use kinda rather than kind of, then you need to add an apostrophe at the end of the word. If you improve your spelling and grammar, you'll feel much better about yourself. Kinda. As for how to become as pretty as me? Easy. Buy a cheap wig, some gaudy makeup, cartoon eyelashes, and shave your balls. Voila! XOXO, Bianca. P.S. I don't know what your last sentence in German means, but I hope it has nothing to do with ovens or Zyklon B. Just saying. Dear Bianca, your advice is so great and so helpful to so many people. Have you ever thought about becoming a teacher and helping other children learn the ways of the world? Sally, from Marblehead, Massachusetts. Sally, thank you so much for your kind words. While I would love to work with children, I'm not allowed within 1,000 feet of a schoolyard, my schedule won't allow me for such a commitment. But if you do want me as a festive clown... Clowns are all the rage right now. I'm available for children's parties, bar mitzvahs, and funerals. Hi, Bianca. My name is Rosanna, but you can call me Rose. I'm a 19-year-old Mexican girl, and since I was a kid, I knew I wanted to do something big. A few years ago, I realized I wanted to have my own company. I want to do makeup. Beautiful vegan makeup for everyone to use. But I don't know where to start. I don't know anyone in that industry that could give me advice or someone who could support me with knowledge or money. Do you know how I could start? Anyway, thanks for everything. You're an amazing human being. We love you. Hola, Webbacko. My name is Bianca, but you can call me Ice Officer Del Rio. Adios, muchacha. Shit, that wall ain't up yet. I don't know shit about starting up a company, but I do have an idea for you that might be both lucrative and socially responsible, which I assume you are by your desire to make vegan makeup. But have you ever met a happy vegan? I think not. Just saying. I suggest you create white pancake makeup for illegal immigrants. Start with yourself. Make yourself up to look white, and change your name from Rosanna to Debbie. Then walk around the streets of a border town wearing a Make America Great Again hat and mutter, build that wall, build that wall. No one will ever think that you're a Mexican, and you'll never be pulled over, hassled, or deported. Promote your success, then go door to door looking for illegals. There are at least 11 million customers waiting for you right now. And since most of them don't have bank accounts, you can make it a cash business, and you won't have to pay taxes. This is a financial win, as well as socially responsible. Your amigos will be able to stay in the country, and President Trump will be thrilled to see all of those happy white people. Plus, lawns and gardens all across this great land of ours will still look good. Gracias. P.S. You missed a spot in the garden? Bianca, I'm having an existential crisis. Do I get a job and do the 9-to-5 rat race, or pursue my passion for art? Charlay B., Kilburnie, Scotland. Charlay, you live in Kilburnie, Scotland. What difference does it make? And I don't say that in a total bitchy way. On the bitch scale of 1 to Mariah Carey, this is a 6. Kilburnie is a charming, quiet little town. I spent a month there one day. The population of Kilburnie is 7,500 people, give or take a few old crones and a couple of sheep. Location matters when deciding what to do with your life. You don't say what kind of art you're passionate about, nor do you say if you're very good at it, which is also important when making career choices. For example, I'm passionate about music. I love to sing. Unfortunately, I'm tone deaf and couldn't drive to a melody with a map. My autotune app told me to shut the fuck up. But if you are good at art, then figure out the best way to maximize your talent. If you're a painter, but like to paint skyscrapers, then move out of Kilburnie is probably a good idea. However, if your specialty is painting people being bored to death, then stay put and whip out your brushes. My advice is, for now, why not try both? Get a 9-to-5 job and do your art in your free time. After you've put a bit of money away, quit whatever boring-as-fuck job you've taken and move to a bigger city, like Glasgow or Edinburgh, and you can pursue your creative dream. If you don't like that idea, then why not just forget about the job, forget about the art, and become a hooker? Money's good. Overhead's low. Mouthwash and condoms? And who knows, maybe someday you'll paint pictures of guys blowing their loads in truck stops or back alleys. You're gay, right? If not, my bad. Women don't make art. Bianca, I'm 19 years old and trying to figure out what to do with my life. What is the best approach to finding out your passion in life and how to go about fulfilling it? Alex from Texas. Dear Alex, I think your first passion should be grammar, so you can learn to not go from first person to second person in one paragraph. Anyway, I had so much fun making Hurricane Bianca. Filmmaking is so much more complicated than television or live performance. When I'm doing a live show, I know the beginning, the middle, and the end, because I wrote the fucking thing. Reality TV is not as real as it seems. It's very well structured, and the scenes are all mapped out. Film is different because things are shot out of order with lots of last-minute changes. And the star, me, has almost no say in how it turns out. 100 hours of film has to be edited down to 100 minutes of film. And the star, me, has no control over what the editors and directors do. So that's a little daunting. But Hurricane Bianca turned out great. So it was worth all the stress and anxiety. Hope that helps your depression. Notice I made this all about me. Take notes. Anyway, back to you and your passion. Finding your passion is the easy part. Fulfilling it is the hard part. For example, let's say your passion is nuclear physics, but you're a fucking idiot. Odds on your getting a job as a physicist are about as remote as Rosie O'Donnell getting semen stains on her sweatshirt, cargo pants, or the rest of her lesbian uniform. My advice, make a list of 3 things you have a passion for, and then figure out which one you can actually make a living doing. Who knows? Maybe you'll be good at 2 of them and have a really fulfilling life. Remember Monica Lewinsky? Bill Clinton's attentive intern? The fat one with the beret? Anyway, my point is that Monica had 3 passions. Sucking cock, putting cigars up her pussy, and hiding under desks. Turns out the lucky bitch was good at all 3. Talk about fulfilling! Hey, Bianca. I think you're fucking brilliant. I loved Not Today, Satan. Adelaide, Australia, July 2016. And I look forward, hopefully, to seeing your next comedy tour. Love you! I work in retail. Most of the customers I serve are grumpy old arseholes that completely disregard my humanity and in an indirect, suggestive way basically tell me to go fuck myself as if I were born to serve them and kiss their feet. How should I deal with them? Be passive-aggressive? Kill them with kindness? Help! Also, my shifts are extremely boring. How can I keep myself entertained? Thanks, Amy. Dear Sourpuss, thank you for calling me brilliant. I appreciate the compliment. And you, too, are brilliant. At least brilliant enough to know that offering me a shallow compliment would guarantee my including your letter in the book. But don't feel too special. My book contract requires me to deliver 52,000 words. No way was I leaving you out. Ever, 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 ever. Did I mention that contractually I have to deliver 52,000 words to the publisher? Amy, you're a retail clerk, not a doctor without borders. Shoppers don't care about your humanity. They care that you bring them nice open-toe shoes to try on. The best way for you to deal with these people is to not deal with them. I suggest you quit and find a work environment that's more attuned to your antisocial personality. Maybe you could get a job in a morgue, or a school for the deaf, or perhaps the International Space Station. FYI, don't think an antisocial personality is a bad thing, but I don't work in HR, now do I? Hashtag, fuck that job. Hashtag, it's only gonna get worse near Christmas. Bianca, I work in a small office with 5 other women. Our boss, a 47-year-old man, has made vulgar, suggestive, borderline harassing remarks to the 5 women. I don't know what to do. Nervous in Nebraska. Dear Nervous, first thing in the morning, you should march into the boss's office and say, what's the matter? I'm not pretty enough? You've harassed every other woman in this office, but not me. What's wrong? And I can even suck the headlights off a Camaro going 120 miles per hour on a salt lick. I have feelings, damn it. And if that doesn't get Bill O'Reilly's attention, call me. I can put you in touch with Gloria Allred, the cunt whisperer. Miss Bianca, I work with a wonderful woman. Not only is she great at her job, but she's sweet and kind and thoughtful. She would gladly give you the shirt off her back. But there is one problem, and it's a big one. Her breath. It stinks. You can smell her 100 yards away. Her breath smells like an anchovy's vagina. She doesn't smoke or have cancer. Her hygiene is fine. I'm pretty sure it's because she has rotten teeth and gums. It's hereditary. I've met her parents, and they look like jack-o'-lanterns that have been left out in the sun. I've casually offered mints, gum, candies, etc., but she always says no. I don't know what to do. Any ideas? Gary, from Palm Springs, California. Dear Gary, there is nothing worse than bad breath. Okay, well, that's not actually true. There are a couple of things worse than bad breath. Climate change, camel toes, and Lady Gaga's second album, for example. But bad breath is a definite boner killer. Since Hallie Halitosis has said no to gum, mints, and candies, offer her Listerine, cough drops, hydrochloric acid. If she turns them down too, every time she wants to speak to you, strap on a gas mask before you engage her. Her feelings may be hurt, but better her feelings than your sinuses or lungs. Bianca, one of my colleagues at work, Frankie, is under the impression that everyone, including me, is hitting on his wife. He's been getting loud and obnoxious and kind of menacing, and he's creating problems in the workplace. Two things to note. Number one, his brother owns the company. And number two, his wife is a pig. I don't want to lose my job, but the office environment is really becoming toxic. Any suggestions? Phil, Monroeville, Pennsylvania. Phil, how fat is she? Can he have sex with her, or does he need a Sherpa to mount Vesuvius? First thing you might want to do is buy Frankie some glasses. If wifey is as hideous as you suggest, maybe Frankie is blinded by the possibility of big bucks to be earned by Big Bertha. Not for nothing, but have you ever seen a thin Bertha? I haven't. The few Berthas I've met were either circus material or too big to even go to the circus, let alone join the circus as a novelty act. Second thing is, you might want to find another job. Dear Bianca, I'm a professional singer, actor. I have a nice career. I regularly appear in television and guest roles. I get some supporting roles in films, and I have a strong following on the cabaret supper club theater circuit. All is good. I need some help with dealing with a friend, a BFF, actually. His name is Steven, and he is lovely and sweet. The problem is that he considers himself to be in show business, and he's not. He hovers around the edges of the industry, getting an occasional low-budget cable show, or hosts an LGBT charity event, or sometimes does a show at a cabaret. He lives off his rich boyfriend, who, thank God, adores him and takes care of him. The underlying problem is that Steve has no talent. None. Zilch. Zero. Nada. The Kardashians are higher up on the talent food chain. He bills himself as a comedian slash singer. But he's not funny, and he can't sing. And everybody knows it but him. He's handsome and charming, but so is my plumber and the butch dyke who walks my dogs. Steven is sort of like Zelig, in that he manages to befriend a lot of famous people and gets to mingle in their circles. Yet he only talks about himself and his credits, in rooms full of people with actual credits and careers. Steven is becoming a laughingstock amongst people who are actually in the entertainment industry. When his name comes up in showbiz circles, eyes roll and people snicker and giggle. His lack of talent is well known, again, by everyone but him. If he knew what people think of his career, he'd be terribly hurt. But if he's doing such damage to his self and reputation, I feel I have to say something. But what? Help. Eric D., Los Angeles, California. Dear Eric, his real name's not Justin Bieber, is it? Only kidding. Justin isn't living off his pastor. I mean, boyfriend. What to do? Say something, bitch. That's what. If not to help Steven, then for the rest of us, who may be subjected to his tin-ear, non-funny bone, and insecurity-driven ego. I spend half my day worrying about ISIS, the other half worrying about Mike Pence, and the third half worrying that the filler in my cheeks might slip and mix with the collagen in my lips, and I won't be able to give a halfway decent blowjob. You can try to direct Steven into other showbiz-related careers. You can say, hey, Nikki No Talent, have you thought about producing? You have such amazing leadership skills. Or, hey, Carl Clueless, you blend in with the stars so well, you'd be a great event planner. Or, hey, Gary Going Nowhere, have you ever thought about getting a job as a drug rehab counselor? If such gentle prodding doesn't work, then it's time for tough love. Next time you're in a crowded public space, where he'd be less likely to cry or hit a table, pull him aside and say, Steven, you know I love you, right? Pause. Well, you know what you're trying to do for a living. Stop trying. You stink. You have no talent, and you're making an ass out of yourself. Pause. Coffee? Dear Bianca, I don't really need any advice. I just want to know when you're putting out a clothing line. Maggie from Somerset, UK. Maggie, darling, I already have a clothing line. It's by Barnum & Bailey and can be purchased at any circus, carnival, or sideshow near you. Seriously, other than students at the School for the Blind, who do you think would buy my clothes? My designs are so loud that Marley Matlin covers her ears when I walk by. That said, if I can get Ivanka and her dad to make America great again by producing my dresses overseas for a nickel a week, Asian kids work cheap, then maybe a clothing line is something I should consider. And by the way, Maggie, you do need advice on how to respond to direct questions. I specifically asked for advice questions, didn't I? And you specifically didn't. Just saying. Love you madly. Dumb cunt. XOXO. Smiley face. Dear Bianca, our church is putting on its annual summer play. This year we're doing Auntie Mame, and I've got the lead role. Do you think I should use Rosalind Russell or Lucille Ball as the model for my character? Pat, Omaha, Nebraska. Pat, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love theater questions, right in my wheelhouse. It's like asking Kendall Jenner about STDs. I think it's great that your church is putting on Auntie Mame. Either it's a very gay-friendly congregation or a very straight congregation with gay priests. Either way, all good. You didn't say if you're a man or a woman or perhaps a schizophrenic. You said our church, but yours is the only name on the letter. But gender matters. Women tend to be vainer than men. Remember the Lucille Ball version of vain? Lucy always looked fuzzy on camera, like she had a load of Desi all over her face. That's because she was 138 years old trying to play 60. Fuck, putting gauze over the cameras. They shot Lucy through a woven army blanket. If you're a gay man, go with Rosalind Russell. The fabulousness should come easy. If you're a woman, go with Lucy in the army blankets. And if you're a straight man playing Mame, you ain't that straight. Trust me, sister, you'll be ass up on a pride parade float by late November. Bianca, if you could perform with anyone dead or alive, who would it be? Mike from Burbank, California. Mike, when you say perform, I assume you mean on stage, as in doing a show with a fellow semi-celebrity, as opposed to performing a sex act in a sling in a chair in a dingy basement with a well-hung D-lister. What's up with only one? I'm like Carney Wilson at a buffet. I need more. What if I wanted to perform with the village people? Do they count as one, or do I have to pick an individual village person? I take the Indian. Feathers bring out my eyes. What if I want to perform with Adele? Does she count as one or two? Anyway, there are three artists I'd love to perform with. Number one, Michael Jackson. I've always wanted to see up close how he blended black parts of his face with the white parts of his face and the cherry red lips. Not to mention finding out how he kept that fake nose in place. Tape, glue, string, jizz? Number two, Donnie and Marie. More for the backstage experience. I find their act nauseating. If he's a little rock and roll, I'm a little straight. And as for puppy love, in Vegas it's a song. In West Virginia, it's a way of life. I want to see Donnie's Mormon magic underwear. Is it a onesie? Does it have buckles and snaps? Does it have a picture of Mitt Romney on the ball sack? And what about Marie? Does she wear magic underwear? Or maybe just a magic bra or magic tampon? Plus, performing with them would be my first experience in front of a semi-live, lily-white, heterosexual audience who are all dressed in cheap polyester suits and faux costume jewelry. Number three, midgets or dwarves? I'm sure that somewhere in this vast and beautiful country of ours, there is a stage-worthy midget act thrilling audiences with songs like Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Tiny Dancer, Itsy Bitsy Spider, and Big Girls Don't Cry. They would be the perfect co-stars for me. Why? Do the math. One bitter drag queen plus five singing midgets equals guaranteed appearance on America's Got Talent. If one of the midgets is missing a limb or has a wandering lazy eye, it's a winner. Before the PC police come after me for not saying little people, please note that I am not using the words midget and dwarf in a pejorative or disparaging way. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I love midgets and dwarves. Especially dwarves. If you don't know the difference, midgets are small, but all of their limbs and features are proportional. Dwarves have small bodies, but oddly formed arms and legs and giant heads. FYI, I once almost had sex with a dwarf. We were getting busy when I said, "Would you like a little head?" He got all pissy and offended and stormed out of the gas station bathroom. I was offering him a blowjob, but he misunderstood me and thought I was making fun of him because he was only 2 feet 6 inches tall, but wore a 94 XL hat. Whatever. Dear Bianca, I work in a small office, and our desk/cubbies are all very close together. The guy who sits next to me, Bob, is nice, but he coughs all the time. I don't think he's sick. It seems like more of a nervous tic. It's driving me crazy and distracting me from doing my job. Everyone in the office is aware of it, so it's not like I can switch desks with someone. No one would make the switch. What should I do? Maureen from Huntington, New York. Dear Maureen, gently and lovingly say, "Hey, Bob, either get cancer or get Robitussin, but it's enough with the fucking coughing already. Let me know how it works out for you. Mwah." Hi, B. What advice did Joan Rivers give you to apply to your career and personal life? Thanks, Susan, Huntington Beach, California. Hi, S. She told me to never write an advice book. No one would care and no one would buy it. But she's dead, so I wrote it and you bought it. Fuck her. Actually, Joan was the greatest. She gave me 3 great pieces of advice. 1, work hard. 2, never take a vacation. They'll forget about you. 3, use industrial gaffing tape to tape my dick to my ass so it doesn't slip out when I cross my legs. Apparently, it happened to her once. Maybe twice. 4, never go to a private clinic for an endoscopy. I'm kidding. She didn't say that. I made that up. She was in a coma. Bianca, how do you deal with rude employees at your workplace? There are these 2 older women that are just plain rude and constantly lie about doing certain jobs. And of course, I'm trying to play nice, but I'm getting to the point where I just want to curse them out. Please help me out on what to do or say. Much love, Javier Garcia. Dear Javier, there's nothing to say, but there is something to do. Next time one of these bitches lies to you, pick up your bus tray full of dirty dishes and crack them over their head. Much love to you, too. P.S. FYI, the only rude employee at my workplace is me. Bianca's tips, how to drive coworkers away. Eat smelly Indian food at your desk. Read the Quran and look shifty. Change your name to Muhammad Akbar Muhammad. Ask your office mates about flying lessons incessantly. Leave your personal salves and creams all over your desk. Have a Photoshop picture of you and Hitler on display. Put an "I love Kim Jong-un" bumper sticker on your car. Don't brush your teeth. Gargle with semen. Make sure your clothes reek of cigarette smoke. Make sure your clothes reek of cigar smoke. Make sure your clothes reek of cancer. Shit yourself. Shit yourself loudly. Shit yourself after a cabbage lunch. Who am I kidding? Shitting yourself always works. Hi, Bianca. First, I'd like to say thank you for your charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. You are my favorite queen and a daily inspiration. My question is about a coworker who I really hate. I have to work by his side, so I've been polite to him since day one, but he misunderstood me and started to think that we are friends. How can I explain to him that we are only co-workers and that I don't want to be his friend? Thank you. Best regards, Michelle. P.S. I am from Brazil. Please send us a kiss. Dear Michelle, thank you for your kind words. Allow me to return the compliment. Thank you and all of Brazil for the waxings. If not for you and your countrymen, do you know how much hair I'd have in my mouth? Moi. There's a reason I work alone and I'm not part of some double act, like Bianca and Marie, or the Captain and Bianca, or Bianca and Pepper. Your situation is easy to fix. Just come into work a few times with open sores on your hands or face, Friendly Frank won't want to pal around with you ever again. How you get those sores is your business. But girl, I have plenty of suggestions. I've seen some very beautiful drag queens. Bebe Neuwirth. Thank you, and I hope your glaucoma clears up soon. Bianca Del Rio. I received a lot of questions about the world of drag. Some people wanted to know about my experiences working as a drag queen. Many others were interested in starting a career in drag. A lot of the questions were similar. And by similar, I mean the same. Boring. Thank God I'm not a proctologist. How many questions about poop or wearing brown can one woman answer? Dear Bianca, I'm transitioning out of the fashion industry and becoming a psychotherapist. I'm thinking about combining my two worlds by offering a new form of drag therapy that would allow them to express various aspects of their personality that they may not know very well. As a professional drag queen, do you think this would be a viable form of therapy? Dario M. Dear Dario, I have questions about your question. But before I start, this is 2018, not 1958. When you use the word transitioning, it means you're changing genders, not jobs. Leaving one career for another is not the same as cutting off your dick. Number one, what if your patient is like Sybil and has 23 different personalities? Have you considered how extensive their wardrobes have to be? All 23 personalities may not be the same gender and will certainly not be the same size. What if one of them is a pasty white anorexic and the other is a big blackum like Precious? Maybe personality number 5 is a winter, but number 7 to 17 are summers. Now what? The point I'm making here is that your patients will have to spend so much on outfits, they won't have enough money to pay for therapy. Number 2. Have you thought about people other than your prospective patients? You know, everyday citizens like me and Jamie. We have to look at your patients. Imagine the trauma we'll have to deal with if two-ton Tessie comes lumbering down the street in a halter and Daisy Dukes. That image will be seared in our minds forever. It is worse than catching your parents fucking. Number 3. You don't say why you're leaving the fashion industry. Is it your choice? Is it because you got tired of watching gay men help bulimic supermodels clean up their vomit? Do you suffer from chronic exhaustion trying to figure out what the fuck Karl Lagerfeld is saying? Or was it the industry's choice? Do you just really suck at your job? Number 4. What makes you think you'd be a good therapist? I make no pretensions that I'm qualified to give advice. I'm just a whore for money. So when the book publisher called... Anyway, it sounds to me like you may need therapy yourself. Let's hope one of your personas isn't suicidal. Have a happy day. XOXOXO. Hey, Bianca. My name is Eric, and I'm 13 years old, and I live in Greenville, South Carolina. You inspire me, like Jiggly, Valentina, Alyssa, and Willem. And I wanted to ask your opinion on me doing drag. I've wanted to try drag for a while, and I wanted to know if you would be my drag mother. I hope you say yes. My mother is okay with it. Thank you. Dear Eric, don't do drag. It's a trap. I'm kidding. Baby drag. I love it. I am so proud of you, not to mention your mother, for knowing who you are and what you are at such a young age. Mwah. Hashtag proud, proud, proud. But I'm not old enough to be your drag mother, you little cunt. Dear Bianca, I've been doing drag for fun for a while, but I'd like to do it for a living. I'm getting good at it and think I have a shot. Is it possible to make a good living doing drag? Any suggestions would be great. Delicious from Austin, Texas. Dear D, love your drag name. You're off to a good start. How do you define good living? If you mean only having to share a bathroom with 4 other people who live on your floor, then yes, you can. If you mean having a phone and calling plan in your own name, then you have to be different from the other drag queens. You have to have a hook. For example, I'm a stand-up comic. Coco Peru is theatrical. Lady Bunny is fat. RuPaul, the first drag queen to cross into the mainstream. Divine ate shit. So find your hook. Maybe you could cut off a limb and be the hopping drag queen. Or how about tucking your dick outside of your dress and be the flashing queen? Let me know what you decide, and let me know how I can help. But as a drag queen, I totally don't mean that. Bye, bitch. See you at happy hour. Love you. Hey, Bianca. I'm a new queen, and as a boy, I have quite small lips. I know you aren't the queen of natural lips, but how do you overdraw them without them looking obviously fake? Much love, Colin. Sent from my iPhone. Colin, I love that you wrote from your iPhone. This tells me that you're either a busy go-getter with no time to sit at a computer, or you're homeless and you sucked a cock for a cheap burner phone. Regardless, what matters is that your first thought was to write me for advice. I'm honored. But your question is stupid. I have no advice for you. By the way, my lips are real. Ask your father. Dear Bianca, I'm a drag queen, Becky DeVitch, and I wonder if you get nervous before getting on stage. If so, how do you cope to have successful shows? Thanks, Becky. Dear Becky, of course I get nervous before I go on stage. Every artist does. And I say artist instead of performer because I'm a pretentious douche. We all have different coping mechanisms to work through our nerves. Before going on stage, Al Pacino paces back and forth for hours. Barbara Streisand throws boiling hot tea on the lighting director. And Meryl Streep masturbates to Holocaust pictures from Auschwitz. I have much easier ways to cope. I do it with yoga and meditation. And by yoga and meditation, I mean booze and pills. Try that. FYI, I don't share. Dear Bianca, I have cystic fibrosis. And watching your Bianca Hates You series in the hospital caused me to laugh slash cough so hard the nurses thought I was having a medical emergency. Can you recommend any drag queens that are medically safe for me to watch? Tiffany from Cleveland, Ohio. Dear Tiffany, Pandora Box, you won't laugh at all. Bianca, how do you hide your penis? Curious George from Atlanta, Georgia. Dear George, the same way Beyonce straightens her hair. It's a process. I tie a string to the tip of my dick, stick it up the crack of my ass, drag it up behind my neck, and tuck it safely under my wig. On one occasion, my balls popped out, and I was complimented on my million-dollar earrings. Hashtag raw stress for less. Chapter 8. Hit the road, bitch. I think families should vacation together, and cruising is a wonderful option. Marcia Gay Harden. Cruising is a wonderful option. Sometimes I even do it at sea. Bianca Del Rio. The only thing worse than a drunk queen on vacation is a drunk queen on a plane going on vacation. I've been seen both. Read this chapter and you'll never leave your house again. Except, of course, to buy the sequel to this book. Dear Bianca, my wife and I, and our two kids, have been invited to our friend's destination wedding. We live in Ohio, and the destination is Tahiti, which is close to someone else's budget, assuming that someone is Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. It would cost us almost $15,000 to attend the wedding. Even if I could afford it, I wouldn't go. It seems awfully rude to ask people to spend that amount of money to attend the wedding. We're very close to this couple. What's the best way to handle this? Don from Shaker Heights, Ohio. Dear Don, the best way to handle it? How about Tahiti? Are you crazy? We can barely afford Trenton, let alone the tropics. We'll send you a blender, and why don't you stick your coconuts in it, you nasty racist white fucks? Hashtag white people problem. While it's impossible for us to know our friends and neighbors' exact financial status, although, if the repo man is sleeping on their porch or dad is pimping out his daughters to Shriners, you know it's not good. Most people wouldn't put their friends in a position of financial unease. Let's give your friends the benefit of the doubt. I don't really think they expect you to attend. They probably know you can't afford it. Shaker Heights is lovely, but it ain't Bel Air. But they wanted to invite you, lest your feelings be hurt. If this is the case, then send your regrets along with a nice, affordable gift. Maybe a book on manners or the name of a good divorce lawyer. Don't give me that, oh, Bianca, how the fuck could you say that look? 50% of marriages in the United States end in divorce, and not nearly enough end up in a tragic, yet not unexpected, homicide-slash-suicide situation. If we don't give them the benefit of the doubt, and they're just spoiled, unaware assholes, then revert back to my original advice. Tahiti, are you crazy? We can barely afford Trenton, let alone the tropics. We'll send a blender. Why don't you stick your coconuts in it? Hashtag, white people problems, why are you taking up space in my book? Dear Bianca, my boyfriend and I just broke up. We own a timeshare together in Cabo. We don't want to sell it, but we don't want to be there at the same time either. Advice, Neil from Los Angeles, California. Dear Neil, you really can't figure this out? The answer is so simple. Send your ex on a fact-finding mission to the Sinaloa cartel. Adios, muchacho. Moi. XOXO. P.S. Watch Forensic Files for some pointers. Good luck. Travel pet peeves. Waiting for luggage at the airport. Because I'm a globe-trotting celebrity with fans all over the world, I spend more time in the air than Kim Kardashian's legs. One of the things that drive me crazy is waiting for luggage at the airport. It shouldn't take me longer to get my luggage at LAX than it did for me to fly there from New York. It's not like they didn't know, A, we were coming, and B, we'd have luggage on board. Yet, it always takes an hour for the bags to start coming down the chute, which FYI is also a euphemism for getting fucked by George Takei. Why? People who can't figure out how to go through security efficiently. 9/11 was over a decade ago, as was that jackass shoe bomber. Laptops out, shoes off, pockets empty. Those things are simpler than George W. Bush, yet half the people on security lines seem puzzled. Figure it the fuck out. Big fat people sitting next to me. If you need to ask for a seatbelt extender, you need to get up, get off, and ask for a bigger plane. And don't ask for a Coke Zero. You're fooling no one. People who travel with faggy little dogs as companion animals. If you're so emotionally fragile you can't travel without your teacup poodle, you need to drink a teacup full of Oxy and stay home. I own a horse. Not Sarah Jessica Parker, an actual horse. But do you want me to bring Seabiscuit on board as my companion animal? Didn't think so. People who think flight attendants are waiters and waitresses. They're not. They have far more important things to do than bring you vodka. Like, jerk me off in the bathroom after I've extinguished the cigarette I shouldn't have been smoking. Sitting next to a retard. I know. Bianca, you're not supposed to say retarded. It's wrong. And it is wrong. But not because it's politically incorrect, but because it's comedically broad and comedy is specific. Yet it's a much funnier word than most clinical specifics. For starters, most retards are happy all the time. Ever see a Down syndrome kid in a bad mood? No, never. The Downsies are always happy, happy, happy. It's exhausting for me, because it means I have to be nice for hours on end. How would it look if I acted cunty to a retard? Billy has the IQ of a cantaloupe and wears round shoes that lace up on the sides. While I'm multilingual, I can swallow in five languages, and wearing spiked Jimmy Choo's, yet I'm giving him shit. Even Cosby's lawyer couldn't fix that kind of PR problem. Moral of the story, you don't really have to be nice. They'll smile anyway. People who take up part of the armrest. Girl, I do not have the patience for a seat hog, which is why I carry a staple gun in my purse. I'll give you two chances to move over, and that's it. You want the armrest so badly, you can have it. Permanently. Chink, chink. Now your flabby arm is stapled to the seat. Enjoy the peanuts, fuckface. People who take forever getting their shit out of the overhead bin after we land. Drives me nuts! We've been parked at the gate for 20 minutes and some fat trailer park chick is still trying to pull her shopping bags down. Hurry up, honey! The swap meet closes at 10. People who use the bathroom on a plane. Without first warning everyone that they're members of the Power Shit of the Month Club and today is Cabbage Wednesday. On days when I fly, I have an Imodium for breakfast, a butt plug for lunch, and by butt plug, I mean I eat an entire urinal cake and I douche with Glade. Why? Because I'm considerate, that's why. And because I'm a fucking lady. Take note, bitches. Hashtag pure class. Dear Bianca, I travel a lot for work. I'm a computer programmer, and I have the whole airport thing down to a science. So it drives me nuts when people aren't prepared. They can't find their passports, or they don't know the confirmation number, or they speak no known language and can't tell the counter person what they need. I've nearly missed 3 flights this month for reasons like this. What to do? John, Denver, Colorado. Dear John Denver, for starters, don't take a solo ride in a glider in the mountains. Oh, wait, you're John from Denver, not John Denver. My bad. Color me embarrassed. The quickest way to move a straggler online in an airport is to yell out, "Hey, slowpoke, I'm in a hurry here. Hear that ticking? My vest is set to go off in 5 minutes. Shake a leg, will ya?" After a brief stop with the good folks at the TSA, you'll be on board in no time. And John, you ain't the only frequent flyer who's fed the fuck up. Dear Bianca, my BF and I are going to Germany on vacation. He wants to take a German language class so we can be conversationally fluent when we get there. I have no interest in taking the class, and we're fighting about it. Any advice? Lisa from Monroeville, Pennsylvania. Dear Liesl, notice the German twist I put on your name? How fabulous am I? If your BF wants to sprechen so Deutsch, let him. No need for you to take the classes. Not your monkey, not your Black Forest. I travel the world and I can barely speak English, and no one seems to care. As long as my dick stays taped up my butt and the jokes work, I'm as welcome as FEMA at an earthquake or paper towels in Puerto Rico. Google it. There are a few expressions you'll need to know to navigate your way around Germany. Let your linguist BF do the rest of the talking. Wo ist der Badezimmer? Where is the bathroom? Wo ist der beste Bar? Where is the best bar? Ich bin verloren, komm mir zum Helfen. I'm lost, can you help me? Ich bin Juden, wo bist du? I'm not Jewish, why do you ask? Then run for your life. Dear Bianca, I'm addicted to Discovery ID TV. Where would you hide a dead body? Casey, Florida. Casey, I'm very impressed that you're addicted to TV. Whitney Houston had a hole in her sinuses just from doing blow, yet you somehow managed to snort a 52-inch LED flat screen without as much as a sneeze. You go, girl. I've never killed anyone, certainly not with kindness, but it sounds like you're thinking about it. If so, I can give you a list of people to start with. I'm just kidding. I can hear my lawyers peeing themselves reading this. But if I were to off somebody, disposal would depend on how I killed them, where I killed them, and who they were. Let's say, for example, that I shoved Martha Stewart into an oven and baked her to death at 350 degrees for 90 minutes. When she came out the oven, she'd be so stiff from baking her, so I wouldn't have to dispose of the body. I could put an apron on her and leave her in the kitchen, and people would think Martha was just being her usual self. There are lots of good places to dispose of a dead body. For example, let's say you kill your baby daddy and you're a fan of Fargo. I say, time for the wood chipper. This one's easy peasy. Because once you're done with the annoying gruesomeness and it's time for a barbecue, the baby back ribs might actually taste like your baby's daddy ribs. And if the police want evidence, they can come back the next day and sift through your shit. If you need more information on body disposal, please check out my upcoming website, www.wheredthebitchgo.com. Chapter 9. TMZ or TMI? I'm not interested in fame at all. Crystal Reed. Who the fuck is Crystal Reed? Bianca Del Rio. On the celebrity food chain, I fall somewhere between Bethany Frankel and the midget on Game of Thrones. For now, it's a good spot to be in. I'm famous enough that I can get good dinner reservations, cut lines at the airport, and park in disabled parking spots. Even though there's nothing fucking wrong with me, I don't limp, wobble, or drag a leg. Can you imagine walking a runway in stilettos with a deformed foot? Ew! The questions in this chapter are about fame, fortune, and felching. Okay, there are no questions about felching. But I wanted to make an alliteration, and the word felching is so sadly underused in today's society. I figured, why the fuck not? Dear Bianca, winning season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race has made you famous and successful. How has that changed your life? Andre D. from Chicago, Illinois. Dear Andre, first off, thank you for your predictable question. I've been asked this almost as often as I've been asked, is sperm fattening? No. If it were, Anderson Cooper would weigh 6.5 tons. Winning RuPaul's Drag Race changed my life. Success has turned me from a snarky 37-year-old man who tucked his junk into a cheap dress and gave blowjobs in bathrooms into a snarky 42-year-old man who tucks his junk into a cheap dress and gives blowjobs in nice hotels. Before I go further, have a cocktail or a Xanax or a line of whatever, because this is going to be a very long answer. And not because your question is so scintillating, yawn, but because it's about me and success, which go together like Michael Jackson's hand on a 9-year-old cock. I remember the moment when RuPaul announced my name as Drag Race winner as though it was yesterday, which it actually was, because I watched the fucking thing online over and over and over again every single day. Not because watching it makes me feel better about myself, but because it makes me feel better about all the bitter twats I left in the dust who now loathe and resent me and covet my things. And the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race and America's Next Drag Superstar and winner of $100,000 is Bianca Del Rio! I collapsed in one of the runners-up's arms. Runner-up is a nice way of saying loser. When was the last time you asked a child, so little Billy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they answered, why, Miss Gibson, I'd like to be the first or second runner-up in some mindless pageant or shallow, empty contest. And while blinking frantically as my mind raced through all the ways I could spend the money, I accidentally knocked off one of my fake eyelashes into my eye and began tearing up. Everyone thought I was overcome with emotion, when in reality, I had a slightly scratched cornea and a fabulous sense of false pride, which has served me well these past few years and made it easier for me to climb the ladder of success without having to claw my way over anyone standing in my way, unless I wanted to. I've always believed there are two kinds of people in the world. Number one, rich, successful people who had pretty clothes and nice things. And number two, people who resent them, otherwise known as everyone else. I mean everyone, as much as I like Pope Francis for his kind heart and basic inclusiveness. I don't believe for a second that when the pontiff sees Donald Trump on TV, he's not thinking, rich prick, all that money, fix your hair. Go get another cocktail. I'm not done yet. Time to address the elephant in the middle of the room. And no, Adele's not here. I mean the age-old question. What exactly is success? This question has been asked by generations of people for hundreds of years. A question asked almost as often as, what the fuck is that the Kardashians do? Of course, the people who ask this question are usually altruistic failures, trying to justify their lowly stations in life by bathing themselves in the notion of the greater good. For example, poets, philosophers, and lesbian do-gooders who have given up shaving, air conditioning, and Netflix to go live in African huts where they pick the nits off bloated children and their constantly pregnant mothers. Those spiritual losers will tell you that success is not tied to the material things you've gathered in this world, but to good things you have done to make this world a better place. FYI, not all disenfranchised people are kind and loving and looking out for others. Where's the last time a homeless person stuck his head out of his box and offered to buy you a sandwich or a mocha latte frappuccino? Fuck them. Just saying. Even Einstein, the brainiac physicist, was not immune to such bullshit. He once said, try not to become a man of success, but rather try to become a man of value. I know what you're thinking. Einstein had a lot of value. He made huge contributions to the world with his work in quantum physics. True. But you know what I'm thinking? That Einstein had a credit score of 240 and his hair was a fucking mess. That's what. To any sane person, or mildly damaged person,